Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with what's going on around us. It's Father's Day weekend, so we'll have a particular focus on Father's Day today, and also still be very sensitive to the coronavirus and the racial tensions that exist in our city, in our state, and throughout our nation, and even beyond. It's great having you here. Many thanks to my sponsors, Ruth Chris Steakhouse and Perry's Fine Jewelry. Without your support, we could not do this program on a weekly basis. My dear friend Ed Billick, the producer of the show, joins me. We still can't have guests in studio yet, so Ed and I are pontificating weekly about different issues. I just completed a book called Moving Beyond Anxiety over the last couple of months. We've been looking at chapters in that book, how to deal with the anxieties that surround us from a faith and values perspective. That's been really fun, and we've enjoyed it a lot. Just thought today on Father's Day we would move in a different direction and talk about the meaning and purpose of fathers. Ed, happy Father's Day to you.
To you, David. Happy Father's Day, and it's a pleasure to be with you here on this glorious Sunday.
Yeah, how many children do you have?
I have two. My son is a practicing attorney in Austin, Texas. And then my daughter lives right here in Charlotte, her and her husband, and she's blessed with a beautiful little boy who's 8 months old. He's a grandson, and guess what? She's expecting again.
Oh, wow.
So we're looking for a November, and guess what? He's getting promoted to big brother.
There you go. That's nothing like
You have quite a few grandchildren,
yeah,
and your kids, too.
We have three children, for those who may not know, and seven grandchildren. A recent one a few weeks ago. His name is David Charles Chadwick. My son, David, gave birth with Jesse for him. Gave birth to him, and it's just been exciting to see this new addition. Yeah, Big Brother Banner is his big brother, and also my daughter has five children. She really did jump into the water with this whole mothering, and of course, Ryan, her husband, is a great dad. And we've used the joke on several occasions, if I'd known grandparenting was so much fun, I'd just get parenting altogether.
you can't describe grandparenting until you experience it.
Yeah.
I've understood that.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like it. I mean, there really is the joy of just loving the child, not having to do a whole lot of discipline, and then giving the child back to their parents and letting them do the discipline stuff, and you just love the kid.
Hey, Father's Day today, we're going to talk a gamut, an array of fatherhood. How do you want to start?
Well, let's start with a whole understanding of God as Father. You know, it's interesting, the Christian faith, of which you and I both are a part of, a major unique difference in the Christian faith is that we believe in God as a Father. No other religion really claims that understanding of God. You know, they see Him as transcendent and holy and different. But the Christian faith really does see God as Father, and the reason that we do is because Jesus, whom we believe is God in human flesh, the Christian faith believes that God became one of us in Jesus. He enshrouded Himself in human flesh to came to show us who the Father is, that God is spirit, but to give us an understanding of who He is, God became one of us and put human flesh around to say, if you want to know who God the Father is, look at Jesus the Son. And so Jesus is the one who taught us to pray. For example, when the disciples saw that Jesus' power was exceptional, they concluded that it was because of prayer. So they went to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus said, okay, when you pray, notice He said when you pray, not if you pray. He concluded that prayer should be a part of every believer's life. He said, when you pray, pray like this. The first two words are, our Father who is in heaven. So there's a holiness that's a part of God. He is in heaven, but He's also our intimate, loving Father. And also in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the end of Jesus' life, as He was facing the cross the next day,
that's right,
the way He prayed to God was He called Him Abba, which was a colloquial Aramaic expression, means daddy. So He was calling God, the Holy One of the universe, not only His Father, but daddy, the most intimate expression possible between a child to their earthly father. So Jesus is the one who introduced to us the whole idea that God's a good, good father. He's a loving, kind daddy. And I have an African-American friend of mine, Derwin Gray, who's the pastor of Transformation Church, a church here in town that's done a wonderful job of bringing whites and blacks together. They live in community together, also Latinos, other people. And he always prays this way, Papa, Daddy, Father, I mean, he calls God those intimate expressions because he knows that's who God really is and the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. It's just so cool to see, Ed, God is our daddy. God's our father.
It's a beautiful way to start on this Father's Day.
If we can get that one down, our whole prayer lives will change. Jesus himself said, hey, your earthly fathers, if you ask them for a fish, wouldn't give you a snake. If you ask them for bread, they wouldn't give you a stone. Then he said, how much more your Father in heaven wants to give you good gifts. If you really believe that, your prayer life will change.
Beautiful, David. What's coming up next?
Well, let's look in the next segment at some of my father's teachings that he gave me, but also let's try to understand what's going on in people's lives who didn't have a dad, who had a bad dad, who had an absent dad. Let's look at some of that to help us understand how Father's Day can still be important for those folks as well. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We will be right back.
Help me to spread your fragrance everywhere.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. And during these times of nervousness, fear with the coronavirus, and during these times of racial tensions, strife, and even hatred among people, could we be the love of Jesus? Could we be the love of the Father to those around us, however they're hurting? And I think that's our reason for being on this planet. It's to continue to spread the absolute love of the Father in heaven. Ed Billick, my producer, has his microphone open. Again, I'm David Chadwick. And folks, we're going to look today on Father's Day, and to all of you out there, happy Father's Day. Look at the meaning of the word father in the Bible, and then also some ways that my dad taught me about faith and values, and then also honor all kinds of different fathers and father types that are in our community. Dad, Ed, tell us about your dad.
My dad grew up as an auto. His dad was an automobile mechanic. He absorbed the business, worked on people's cars. I mean, he did it because he really enjoyed helping people. He passed at a very early age, at the age of 58, lung cancer. You know, drinking a few beers every day, but he was not as healthy. But he was extremely loving and caring. I miss him deeply. It'll be 33 years this week since he's passed, if you can believe that. Now, your dad, David, you speak of him so often. I mean, growing up a strong father, he left you with a lot of life's learnings, didn't he?
He really did. There's so many things he taught me. He passed away in 2009, November the 11th, 2009.
June 24th, 1987. You know these dates.
You don't forget them, do you?
No.
And that was some 11 years ago. I miss him terribly, even to this day. But
he'd be so proud to see how you've continued to grow.
Well,
and
thank you. He's
others.
A remarkable man, and, you know, he loved my mom so well. You know, one of the things I want to do today is talk about, people sometimes call them Davidisms, little phrases that I've adopted through the years that people get into their minds, but really I should call them Dadisms.
What was your dad's first name?
Howard.
Okay, so
yeah.
These are Howardisms.
Yeah, I think they are Dadisms,
Dadisms,
whichever you want to call
better,
them.
Yeah.
So many of my Davidisms are Dadisms, things that Dad taught me through the years. And Ed, one that I'll never forget that's so appropriate for Father's Day is the night before I married Marilyn, and now we've been married 42 plus years, I asked Dad, if there is a gift of a child to Marilyn and me at some point down the road, what would be the best thing I could do to be a good dad? And I'll never forget his answer, Ed. It was, again, the night before I was married, and God has given me three children. He said to me, son, or in that deep, resonant baritone voice he had that I think God was envious of, son, should you ever have children, the greatest gift you can give your kids is to love their mom. And it's so simple, Ed, but it's so profound. You know, kids today are looking for stability, especially as they're living in this coronavirus tension and fear, especially as they're living amidst these racial tensions. The best gift a dad can give to his kids is to love their mom. Because kids are sitting around the home all the time watching mom and dad interact. And if there's constant tension, strife, and arguing, inside they're asking the question, first, is it my fault? And secondly, are mom and dad going to split? They see divorce happening all around them, and that causes then a sense of fear within their own hearts.
Yeah, that anxiety you speak of
makes them very vulnerable to anxious thoughts, to tensions, to heartfelt concerns and fears. And so the best thing dads can do is to make sure they love their moms deeply and profoundly so that kids feel like the environment in their home is safe.
You know, you watch your grandchildren, as I watch my grandson, they are so observant. They're watching, you know, I've taught him how to clap. My sister-in-law thinks she taught him how to clap. But he now models that, and they're so observant. So kids are also learning how to love. And to your point, if they see dad loving mom and mom loving dad, okay, that's how we should act. That's how I should behave.
I'll never forget one time I had a little tension with Marilyn, and we were a little sniping at one another, just like most every couple, you have those moments. We were sitting on the couch, a little separated because there was some frostiness between us. One of our kids came and sat between us and just kind of sat there, and then finally reached over and took mom's hand and placed it in her lap, took my hand and placed it in her lap, and put the hands together.
Oh, my, that's a God moment there.
It was a God moment, and we both kind of looked at each other and went, how silly are we? Little kids are watching, and they're feeling the environment in the home. They have little sensors that are going off all the time when they see that tension. So, again, the greatest gift, my dad said to me, that you can give your kids is to love their mom. And for moms out there as well, the greatest gift you can give their kids is to love their dads. And when they have that security and that commitment together, they feel able to keep moving forward in life. And the other other teaching that my dad gave me that I think is applicable here, Ed, he said, and son, always lock the door in your marriage from the outside. Lock the door from the outside.
Explain that.
So what he's saying there is, you have made a covenant commitment to your wife. You have said, in better or worse, sickness and health, richer or poor, as long as we both shall live, I'm covenantally committed to this marriage. The back door is locked from the outside. I can't get out. And Ed, I just really believe this, and maybe I'm an old fuddy-duddy, but I believe that if two people will say, hey, I'm married for life, I made a covenant promise to you before God and these witnesses, that when those tensions come, and tensions come in every marriage, but you realize that divorce isn't an option, you'll find a way to work it out. You'll find a way to forgive. Who was it? Ruth Bell Graham, I think, Billy Graham's wife, who said, the best marriages are made up of two great forgivers.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you'll just learn how to close that door and lock it from the outside, make sure the kids feel that covenant commitment with one another, love your wife, then you can give your kids a security that will help them emotionally be mature people.
I like that expression I shared last week. If you have an option of being correct or right or being kind, be kind.
Choose kindness. You know, and men, you know this as well, dads especially. You don't have to always be right. I don't know what it is within us that when our wife brings us a problem, we think we've got to fix it.
Or solve it.
Yeah, and if she doesn't think that's the right fix it, then we argue because we think we've got to be right. And I don't know what it is within us that needs that. It's called, I guess, biblically self-righteousness, and God's never pleased with it. But the more we can be humble, walking in humility in these relationships, the stronger that we'll be. And, you know, Ed, we need to also acknowledge that there are people out there right now listening who had bad dads, who had absent dads, who had dads that maybe even abused them. Sadly, that one just breaks my heart beyond words. And we need to say very clearly to them that was never God's intention. What he wanted was for you to have a loving, great earthly dad who would point you to the Father in heaven so that as you're growing up as a child, you want that love not only from your earthly father, but especially the love of the heavenly father that the earthly father keeps pointing you toward. And so all I know to say to those who had bad dads, absent dads, abusive dads, is to say, I'm just so sorry. Please know that God loves you deeply and dearly. He wants to heal those wounds in your heart and keep in your mind that's a part of the fall. That's a part of what sin has brought into the world. And God wants there to be good, great dads in the world. And if you don't have that in your earthly dad, there have been other situations where men have stepped into kids' lives and been like a biological good dad. And one of those would be a coach. You and I were talking about that off air.
Yeah, absolutely. You always speak of a Dean Smith, the famous Carolina basketball coach. People have, you know, scout leaders. Uncles, many uncles step in and fill the void, and many grandfathers do as well. But there could be family friends and such that really provide that kind of leadership in the absence of a father.
A phenomenon that's happening in our culture in America today that I love and is wonderful is the number of families that are choosing to foster children. They're caught in the system of not having a mom or a dad, and they have someone step in and say, I'll be a foster parent for you for a season. And then if the relationship works, those foster parents oftentimes adopt that kid into their family and increase their family. I've got one friend I know who has adopted 3 African-American kids into his white family. They're a family of 7 now, and they really love each other. It's beautiful to watch. And those 3 kids who didn't have any parents now have parents. And this man and his wife stepped into the vacuum, stepped into the gap, and love those kids like their own. And it's another example of how someone can become a father in our culture for the fatherless. It's interesting, in the Bible, God oftentimes shows, through the prophets especially, a deep heart for the widow, the orphan, and then what's called the fatherless, because God wants us to have fathers today. Sadly, we see that fatherlessness increasing in our culture, not just among African Americans. We need to make that very clear, though it's a huge problem in the African American community. It's becoming increasingly huge in the white community as well. Just people who are impregnating women and walking away. It's not God's original intent. It's not what he wanted. He wanted there to be a dad and a mom who are covenantally committed to one another in a lifetime relationship, who show their kids the love of the Father in heaven and their love toward one another.
You know, John Hancock here on WBT, who since retired, did this Father's Day show. And for people to call in and give testimonials about the things they wish they would have said to their dads or things their dads did or did not do, it touches the heart. To your point, David, you know, all children need a father. And as you get older, you appreciate that. And with all your Howardisms or your dadisms here, that's we're going to share some here as we come back. It's important to reflect on this Father's Day.
And I would encourage all our listeners, if you have a dad who's still alive, and Ed, again, your dad's gone on to the Lord and he's in heaven. My dad's gone on to the Lord. He's in heaven. If you have a chance, though, on this side of eternity to say thank you to your dad, please make sure you do that today, because most of us dads really did our best. Flawed as we are, we tried to do our best. We tried to provide. We tried to guard our homes. We tried to nurture our homes. We did the best we could. So if you have a dad who did the best that he could, make sure you text him, call him, write him. Just do something today and say these simple words: thank you, Dad. It's all that you can say that will touch his heart deeply. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We will be right back.
Oh, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell
Isn't that a great message? That God is a good, good Father. And we're loved by Him. The proof for those of us who are Christians is the cross, where we know the extent to which the Father went to forgive us of our sins so that we can have a relationship with Him forever and have the gift of eternal life. Ah, He's a good, good Father. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It's great to have you back on the show. If you'd like to hear this special Father's Day show from beginning to end, please go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, and you can hear this program from the beginning to the end. My producer, Ed Billick, my dear friend, has also his microphone open, and we're talking about fathers today.
If we're in the 8 o'clock hour, tell your friends it's going to air again at noon right here on News Talk 1110 WBT. If you're listening into the 12 o'clock hour, glad you're joining us at this time of day.
Thank you all for joining us, and happy Father's Day to you. Ed, I ask you to think about What is your fondest memory with you and your dad? Would you share that?
Well, I think one of them is he, as an automobile mechanic, he taught me how to, you know, work on cars and all. And we would spend hours, whether it be our car or someone else's, and I was his assistant and all. But those were true father-son times where he'd be given advice and, hey, get me this tool or do that tool or let's do this or clean that part. And you remember those kind of moments because they were just you and he and, the advice that he would provide. And he was not college educated, although he wished he would have. He went to business school for his garage there. But he was so proud when I graduated college and so very happy when I found my lovely wife in the marriage in 1982. So he was very proud. And as he laid suffering from lung cancer, he said, "You big goofball, look at you. Look what you've done. I am so proud of you." And those words will resonate forever.
You know, it's interesting, Ed, is on two different occasions, at his baptism and then on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus had a supernatural spiritual encounter with the Father. And the Father spoke to him at the baptism. People around actually heard the voice. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John heard the voice. And it's interesting, both times, here's what the Father said to Jesus: "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Do you know what he was saying to him? Exactly what your dad said to you on his deathbed: "I'm just so proud of you." To the Father in heaven, to Jesus: "I'm just so proud of you. You are doing what I ask you to do, and that is live the perfect sinless life that none of these people can live, and you're heading toward the cross where you'll die to take the penalty of sin upon yourself so that they can be forgiven. I'm so proud of you." And I've thought to myself on many occasions, if the perfect Son, God in human flesh, Jesus, needed to hear from his heavenly Father, "You're doing a great job. I'm so proud of you," how much more do we as dads need to say that message to our kids? "I'm so proud of you." So dads listening today, if you have a chance, just look at your kid in the eye and give them what I call the blessing. It's a blessing. Just say to them, "I am so proud of you." It reverses the curse of sin, of doubt, of accusations that they sometimes hear in their heads from the enemy, the evil one who wants to tell them how awful they are. If you'll just be the Heavenly Father's voice to them and say, "I'm just so proud of you," it can literally change their lives.
And as a young man, you want to please your father. You want to please your mother as well. And then knowing years later that you did do that satisfies that kind of, "Did I do it right?" Yeah, we're not perfect. We're not, you know, the perfect son growing up. But to know that and hear that from your father, it has to be a sincere message, too. Just goes a long way.
You know, for me, Ed, I have an older brother, Howard, and he's wonderful. We have a great relationship. But Dad was so busy as a pastor building the church, I don't think he gave Howard the kind of time that Howard needed. And so Howard was a little bit rebellious, and he went on his way. Eventually, he came back and is now a minister of the gospel in Daytona Beach, Florida. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. But I think he was affected by Dad's absence, trying again to build the church, doing good things with his job, but just putting children on the back burner. I think when I came along 5 years later and began to develop this interest in basketball, began to play basketball, began to love sports in general, I think Dad said kind of inside himself, "You know, I goofed up with Howard. I'm not going to make that same mistake with David."
How many oldest sons or oldest daughters the parents experiment with because they don't know how to be a father? How do you learn to be a father?
Yeah, I don't know if you can learn it except by doing it. But I tell you one key is I'll never forget the night my dad came home and I was like 8, 9 years of age. And he said to me, we lived here in Charlotte, "Do you want to go to a Charlotte Hornets baseball game?" Now, amazingly, we had a minor league team way back when that was a baseball team called the Hornets. Yeah. And I said, "Gosh, Dad, I'd love to." And, Ed, it began a special daddy-son bond that my dad and I had going regularly to Charlotte Hornets baseball games. I can still remember where we sat on the first baseline. I can still remember at the end of the fifth inning us going to get snow cones together. I can always remember he got orange, I got grape. I mean, I remember those times. We would walk out of the car and walk past old Griffith Park over in the now south end kind of area, and I would walk along the fence, and I'd be jumping up in the air trying to look over the fence to see the baseball field. My dad would finally take my hand and say, "Come on, son, we'll get in soon enough." And we would spend that time together. We would talk about anything and everything. But going back to your dad with the automobile mechanic thing, you know, one of my Davidisms that really is a dadism is kids spell love T-I-M-E. Dads, just make sure the best way you learn how to be a father is just spend time with your kids. Just love them. Be with them. Share life with them. Listen to them. Pick up on their hurts, their hang-ups, their hopelessness. Listen to their dreams, their hopes, and their ideas, what they want to become in life. Just spend time. You can't have those moments unless you spend time with your kids.
And realize and understand as a father, you're creating memories. You may not know that, but you are creating memories that they'll replay to you later in life. And gosh, I didn't realize that was so impactful for you. You just never underestimate the time you spend with them.
And when you are in those time moments, those conversations that have eternal impact begin to occur. I mean, those were some of the times that my dad and I talked about faith. We talked about future. We talked about hopes. We talked about dreams. And that couldn't have happened unless my dad one day awakened and said, you know what? I didn't spend the time I needed to Howard. I'm going to make that up. And he did. But I'm going to spend time with my son. I'm not going to make the same mistake again. So make sure, dads, that you are spending time with your kids because, again, not only does that allow the love connection between you to happen, but it is the opportunity to share your own faith with them, your own values with them. Again, faith's more caught than taught. When they spend time with you and they see you operating in a faith realm, they want what you have.
You have a few other really important messages that your dad taught you. What are some of those?
Well, another one fits in with this whole thing of kids spell love, T-I-M-E. He would tell me during Christmas time, especially when we would celebrate God's gift of his son into the world, that Christmas is much more about God's presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, than presence, P-R-S-E-N-T-S. Now, I still remember some of the cool Christmas presents that Dad gave me. I can remember that chrome-plated bike he gave me, especially when I was in elementary school. But the greatest gift he gave me, Ed, was his time, was his presence. And I'm afraid too many dads and even moms today, because they're so busy, try to pour elaborate, wealthy gifts upon their kids in order to earn their affection. And kids aren't dumb. They know when parents are trying to buy them out by just giving them presents. No, what kids really want is not the presents, not stuff, not material gifts. They want your presence. They want that time with you. They want to be with you. And I think about the Heavenly Father. You know, he gives good gifts sometimes, you know, blessings in life. But the greatest gift we have from the Heavenly Father is his presence. What we believe as Christians is Jesus died on the cross to place his very life within us. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. So the Father in heaven spends that incredible time with us every single day. And as we pray, as we are with him, that's where we get our spiritual strength in order to dream, move forward, and have great goals in
life. You
know,
you say that, and it's really cool to think about. But then really, folks, think about the time your dad spent with you, wherever that was, whatever that was. Christmas is at our house. Yeah, I remember a couple cool Christmas gifts, but I remember him cooking the ham and going to midnight mass and the things that made Christmas special. And it was the time when you reflect as an older adult on those times. I think we all have those. That rings true, the whole idea of presence, the time you spend with your kids.
So we would say to dads now, if like we did in the last segment for children, if you have the chance today, make sure you call your dad and say thank you. Believe me, for those of us who have lost our dads, like Ed Billick and myself, we'd love to have even a five-minute conversation with them now. So make sure you do that. But let's also say to dads right now that you need to take some time to say to your kids, hey, I'm so proud of you. Hey, look, if you're 80 years old now as a dad, call your kid who may be 60 and say to them, I'm so proud of you. Ed, isn't it true? Even at 60, you want to hear that.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember my dad said that to me. Your dad said it to you on his deathbed. My dad said it to me in the latter years of his life, and I got chills every time he said it to me. And I was a grown adult with my own children, but he would say to me, I'm so proud of you. And it would mean the absolute world to me. So, dads, make sure you say that to your kids. And also, if you have some time today, dads, make sure you spend some T-I-M-E with your kid. Give your kids your presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, because it's the greatest gift you can give them along with loving their mom. And as you spend that time with them, it gives you opportunities to share life, blessings, hope, faith, all those things that kids just so want to have, but they can't have it unless you'll take the time to spend with them. And one other thought, write them into your schedule. My dad was at every basketball game I ever played, every single one. He wrote it into his schedule at the beginning of the season. And when he was asked at a certain time, hey, can I have you for this meeting? He'd say, nope, got another appointment. He wouldn't tell them it was with his child at a basketball game, but he made that appointment with me. It was never forgotten in my life. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Happy Father's Day. What a wonderful day this is for dads to be celebrated. Dads aren't add-ons, folks, to families. They're very important for the stability and wholeness of families. So let's make sure we thank our dads who are great dads. And also, dads, make sure you say to your kids those wonderful words, I'm so proud of you. When that happens, man, you have great dads, great families, and a society is made stronger because a society's strength is rooted in the nuclear family. And when mom and dad love each other, raise healthy kids, it continues to produce health in that society. Ed, you know, I've been talking about some Davidisms, if you will, and Ed Billick, my producer, has his microphone open during this time period. They really should be called dadisms because so many of my Davidisms that I use are my dadisms that my dad taught me. You know, one I love is that he said, you know, dogs only bark at moving cars. And then he said after that, you know, they've never erected a statue to a critic.
Yeah,
and
right,
I've
yeah.
loved that teaching because he's always taught me you can't please everybody.
Go back to the dog one. Help me understand that.
Well, dogs only bark at moving cars. If you try to make something out of your life, they're going to be critics.
They're
going to be people who just don't like it. They like to be lazy. They like to sit in their little rooms and never do anything. And if they see you moving forward in your life, they know they either need to move themselves or they got to criticize you moving. So dogs only bark at moving cars. Make sure you're moving forward. When the critics come, remember, they never erect a statue to a critic. Those are two dadisms that have become Davidisms that I use all the time with people that help them continue to grow in life.
Well, one thing dads aren't good at is giving feedback. And feedback is supposed to be a gift, okay? It's supposed to help you. Many times it comes across as criticism, and it turns you off as a son, like, what's he trying to tell me to do? But in reality, dads are not good at giving advice, like your dad was, but some that comes across the wrong way. And you got to understand it's coming from a loving heart and it's really true feedback to help.
Well, kids, give your dad some grace. You know, we're not perfect and we don't say things perfectly. And there are times we don't say things rightly. Just give us some grace as well. But most of us have good hearts trying to do the best we can. And Ed, amidst the race riots right now, I wanted to share a story about my dad that had a profound impact on me. Dad was raised in the Winston-Salem area around 1918 was when he was born in the Depression years. And he was a product of the South, and his own racial struggles were there. You know, he heard things said and done that he just could not understand, and he imbibed some of that racial tension. When he was called into the ministry, though, something happened that changed his life, and he loved to share this story with me. He was at a minister's conference, and he walked into his room to set up for the weekend, and in walked his roommate, an African-American.
And what year would this have been?
This would be around 1940 or so.
Wow.
And so all of those tensions that he had had racially in his own heart began to rise, and the other man could feel them. They were palpable in the room. So the African-American minister looked at Dad and said, may I do something? And my dad said, well, sure, that'd be fine. And so he took out a pen, and he pricked his little finger and squeezed it, and he said, what color is my blood? And my dad said, it's red. And he said, well, may I do the same on your finger? And Dad said, okay. And so he took his finger, pricked it lightly, squeezed it, and out came a little drop of Dad's blood. And he said, what color is your blood? And my dad said, red. He said, well, isn't that the real color that defines us? And Dad used to tell that story how it was a life-changing moment when he did really realize every person's created in the image of God. We're all image bearers, that the outside of someone's color does not define who they are in their hearts. And he said that was the life-changing moment that began to help him understand that all are created equally. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. Everybody's the same. And Dad so then developed a heart for racial equality that he stood for African Americans during the Martin Luther King riots. And as the pastor of First Presbyterian Church, Orlando, Florida, a 3,000-plus member church at that time, an African-American wanted to join the church. And Dad took the person before the elders and gave a testimony of faith in Jesus. Dad recommended we receive him into membership at the church. And the wealthiest member of the church, who gave a lot of money, said, I'm not going to have that blankety-blank join this church. And he said, you're going to have to choose between him or me. And my dad then looked at the elders and said, well, you're going to have to choose between me and him, the very wealthy elder, because I think he should be a member. And so they voted him in. The other guy never left the church, but he became quiet and very distant and very angry at my dad. But Dad stood on that principle. And I'll never forget him sharing that story around the dinner table. All people are created equally. Folks, that's the kind of thing dads can teach children. It's one of the things we can do as dads to help solve this racial tension that goes on. Everybody is created equally. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. May all of us dads teach that to our kids, black and white alike, and that way we can become one in Jesus.
Beautiful.
Well, let's spend some time in prayer, Ed. We've tried to end the last several months' programs in prayer just because we realize the fears that exist because of COVID-19 and the hatred that exists because of the racial tensions. Well, let's address both through prayer in the name of Jesus in order to solve all of these problems around us and come together as one in a community. And I hope you'd advise me, Ed, wouldn't you, that we need to begin the prayer with our
Father.
Father.
Didn't he teach us how to pray?
He did. So let's begin there. Everyone, pray with me. Our Father, Daddy, Papa, loving Father in heaven, come to us now and deal with all that is around us. Lord, first of all, help us deal with the fears that consume us. You know, good daddies in earthly homes try to take away the fears of their children. Eternal Daddy, take away our fears. Help us get a glimpse of your glory. Help us to see that you're sitting on the throne in heaven and you control everything, yes, even the coronavirus. It's under your sovereign hand. Lord, they named it the coronavirus because the corona looks like a crown. Remind us that, Father, you wear the true crown in heaven. You control everything. And as we trust you with everything in our lives, fear starts to abate and we start to live in perfect faith. Daddy, Father, Papa, help us with all of these racial tensions. We are really one human race. There aren't multiple races. There's one human race, and we all have a different skin color, a different skin hue in the human race. Help us to realize that the color that should define us is not black or white or brown. The color that should define us is red. We all have your blood pulsating through our veins, and when we have those colors opened up within us, the red color especially, we can see our oneness in you. Oh, Father, help us to realize that you're the one true heavenly daddy, and all of us are your children. Some are taller, some are smaller. Some are larger, some don't have as much weight. Some have a different skin hue than others, but we're all your children. Help us to be one family that loves deeply, that cares for one another as you, the Heavenly Father, would want us to care for one another. So, Daddy, Papa, loving Father, today on this Father's Day, help us as dads to say to our children, well done. We love you so much. So proud of you. And help children say to their dads, thank you, Dad, for sacrificing all that you did to give me all that I have so that I could live this life to the full. Oh, Father in heaven, when we do that, we'll truly celebrate Father's Day the way that we should celebrate Father's Day. And we look to you, our Heavenly Father, to answer all of our concerns, whether it's fears about the COVID-19 crisis or whether it's the hatred that exists in our hearts because of a person who has a different background or color of skin. Help us to be one. Help us to love one another. Jesus, you came to show us the love of the Heavenly Father, and you said to us, bottom line, we're to love God with all our heart, soul, minds, and might, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Oh, if we just do that, Father, we have a lifetime's worth of work to do. Help us to love as you have loved us. When we do, our fears will cease and our hatred will be gone. I pray this in the one I know is my Lord Jesus' name. Amen.